Okay, I think I'm going to start. I hope that everybody who needs to be on is on. And I think I'm going to start, which means I got to reach for my glasses. And I want to announce that our learning today is sponsored by the Sunshine Weiss, Weintraub, and Sherrick families in loving memory of Noni Weiss's father, Dr. Herbert Sunshine, Chaim David Ben Yeshayo Alter, on his fourth yahrzeit, which took place actually yesterday, Ner Shlishi Shel Chanukah, or Chaf Zayin Kislev. And it's actually a great honor for me to remember this very, very good friend of ours, of our family, who was our friend for all the years that we lived in St. Louis, and several years while we were already in Israel, because he would come to visit this daughter of his, Noni, who I hope is listening right now. And they were extremely good friends. One of the things, you know, I'm an old lady, and one of the things that I think that I've learned in this Baruch Hashem, quite lengthy life that a Kadosh Baruch Hu has graciously given me, is that the important thing in life is to make connections. To make connections with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to make connections with family, parents, children, friends, to make connections with friends. And one thing that I must tell you about Dr. Herbert Sunshine, about Herb, was that he knew how to make connections. He made connections with his family, whom he adored. He made connections with his friends. He made connections with his rabbi, who was my husband, and always helped him in the shul. And he made connections with his patients. And I'm going to take advantage of the fact that that this is a very close friendship and tell you a story to show you connections, to show you how we made connections. I won't waste a lot of time because we have a long lesson, but the time is not wasted. Many years ago, I was driving from St. Louis to Chicago on Erev Thanksgiving, a cold night. I was driving just with my son Avi, because my husband had to be in Chicago the night before, the day before. And I was driving in the middle of the night, and suddenly my car made a horrendous noise, and I pulled off the road, and the car then had a sudden demise. And it was in the middle of the night, in the middle of no place, on the road. And I called AAA, which you can do, and somebody came along after a while in a farm truck. He was a farmer in this nothing little town in the middle of Illinois. And he worked for AAA, and he asked me who I was. Oh, you're from St. Louis, and I see that you're Jewish. Do you know Dr. Herbert Sunshine? And because I knew him, he treated me, you cannot imagine how well he treated me. He took my car, he told me that he would check it over. He said, don't worry, leave everything in the trunk, just go wherever you had to go. He took me to a bus station, and it was all because I knew Dr. Herbert Sunshine. And it turned out that Herbie used to go there on a regular basis, and he would hold a clinic in this little town in the middle of Illinois, and everybody knew him, and everybody loved him. And this is an example of making connections. The entire family who are honoring him are precious jewels, each and every one. We love all of their children. We love them. They learned their midot tovot from their parents because their father was outstanding, supportive, and caring. And his wife, Phyllis, Tibadel Chaim, may she always be. May she have long life, and may she be part, as she is, of my heart and my soul for many, many years. And so I hope that the learning we do today will bring an aliyah to Chaim David Ben Yeshayahu Alter, and bring light and joy to his wife and to his family as well. And without further ado, let's remind ourselves of what we were learning last week in Sefer Ezra. we had just learned about the fact that the Avodah on the Beit HaMikdash was stopped because of accusatory letters that were sent by the enemies of Yisrael, both in the area of Yehuda and even enemies that were within the Persian Empire, that was sent to the king Cyrus the Great, Koresh, telling him that the Jewish people were rebellious and they were surely going to rebel against the Persian Empire. They were going to stop paying taxes, and that they were making a big mistake, that Koresh was making a big mistake to allow them to be rebuilding their Beit HaMikdash, because they were actually fortifying the city, preparing for a rebellion. Because of that, Koresh, because the letter was very persuasive, Koresh gave orders to stop the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And we read at the very end of Perek Dalet, I'm going to read you some psukim. Bedayin, at that time, then, remember this is in Aramaic, my friends, Betelat Avidat Beit Eloha Di Birushleim. The work on the base, on the house of Hashem in Yerushalayim was nullified. It was stopped. Vahavat Butla, and it remained stopped. There was no work done. At Shnat Tartain, until the second year, Lemalchut Daryavesh Melech Paras. Until the second year of the kingdom of Daryavesh, the king of Paras. And we know that Daryavesh was the son of, we know him, Achashverosh. You might say wrong holiday, but we are going to get to the holiday of Hanukkah as well, I promise. And we learn from the second year of Koresh, when the work was nullified, until the second year of Daryavesh, it was 18 years. So for 18 years, there was no work done on the Beit HaMikdash. Very little is known about what was going on in those years. It's not reported. Ezra doesn't report it. The Nevi'im don't report it. In fact, the next Pasuk takes place. The beginning of Parakeh takes place when that 18-year period is over. So all we know is that the people were basically trying to build up their farms, trying to settle in the land, trying to make a life for themselves, but we really don't know a lot about what was going on. We know what was going on in Persia because we know, of course, the Purim story. At any rate, Parakeh, after the 18 years are over, we have a very interesting two psukim. We read them last week. V'hit Nabi Chagai Nevi'a U'Zachariah Bar Ido Nevi'aya Al Yehudaye Di B'Yehudi B'Rushalayim B'Shum Ela Yisrael Aleihem. And what Ezra is telling us, at that time, after the 18-year period, the Navi Haggai and the Navi Zechariah, the son of Ido, gave Nebuah to the Yehudim that were in Yerushalayim in the name of the God of Yisrael. Bedayin, Kamuz Rubavel Bar Shaltiel, V'Yeshua Bar Yotzadak, V'Sarav, L'Mivne Beit Elaha, D.B. Rushlein. Then, meaning as a result of the Nevuot of Haggai and Zechariah, Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, who remember was the leader that was the representative of royalty because he is a descendant of Malchut Beit David, and Yoshua, who is a direct descendant of the Kohuna, a direct descendant of the Kohen Gadol of the first Beit HaMikdash, the two of them, as a result of the Nevuot and the encouragement that was given by the Nevi'im, immediately began the building of the Beit HaMikdash. They began, they and their sarav and their officers began to build the Beit Eloha, the house of God that was in Yerushalayim. The imho neviyaha di Eloha misa'adin lahom. And with them, helping them, misa'adim is helping them, were the neviyim of God who were encouraging them and who were telling them the time has come to build the Beit HaMikdash. Interestingly, these two Nevi'im, who Haggai and Zechariah, who were encouraging them to build the Beit HaMikdash, were very different. Haggai was speaking very straight. He said, this is the time to begin building. Basically, a very, very simple pasuk. I'm going to read his first pasuk. Bishnat Shtayim l'Daryavesh HaMelech. See, we know that it's in the second year of the king Daryavesh. B'chodesh HaShishi. In the sixth month. B'yom Achad l'Chodesh. On the first day of the month. Hayadvar Hashem b'yad Chagai HaNavi. The word of Hashem came through Haggai, El Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel, Pachat Yehuda, the ruler of Yehuda, the governor, Zerubbabel and Yehoshua ben Yehotzadak. He's called Yehoshua in the words of the Nevi'im, not Yeshua. HaKohen HaGadol Lemor, Ko Amar Hashem Tzvakot Lemor, Ha'amazeh amru lo eit bo eit beit Hashem libnot. So the Navi said, the people are all saying, no, the time has not come yet to build the house of Hashem. But what Haggai goes on to say is, the time has most certainly come. And similarly, if we look at the beginning of Sefer Zechariah, Bachodesh Hashmini, he was speaking 2 months later. Bishnat Shtayim l'Daryavesh, also in the second year of Daryavesh, the word of Hashem came to Zechariah saying, listen, Katzaf Hashem al avotechem katzaf. Zechariah says to the people, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very angry at your fathers. And that's why the first Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. V'amarta aleihem, ko amar Hashem tzvakot. And Hashem is speaking to Zechariah, and he says, Zechariah, go tell the people now. Yes, Hashem was very angry at you, but shuvu elai ne'om Hashem. Return to me. These are the words of Hashem. Come to me, do tshuva, v'ashuv aleichem, amar Hashem Tzvakot. You make the first step, return to me, and I will return to you, says Hashem Tzvakot. The message of both Haggai and Zechariah was, start building now. The time has come. Do not worry, you will get permission, nothing will happen. You take the initiative and start building now. It was a momentous time. Chazal teach us that there was a true potential at that time for Geula. Had the people indeed done tshuva, this Beit HaMikdash that they began to build at this time, in the second year of the king of Persia, Darius, Daryavesh Hasheni, had they done tshuva at that time, that this Beit HaMikdash would have been the eternal Beit HaMikdash. There's a feeling of excitement at the beginning of the nevuot of both of these Nevi'im. The excitement goes throughout Sefer Haggai, but it's very, very short. And it goes through the beginning of the Nevuot of Zechariah. Interestingly, why am I mentioning all this, you might say? Interestingly, the Haftorah that we read on the Shabbat of Chanukah is taken from Zechariah, Perek Bet, Pasuk Yud-Dalit 14, see the beginning towards the beginning, and it goes through Perek Dalid Pasuk Zayin. It comes from Zechariah. And what our task is today is to look at this Haftarah and review it and see how it fits the times that we are learning about, meaning the time that Ezra is writing, the actual time that the Beit HaMikdash was begun and completed. By the way, interestingly enough, it was completed on Chafdalid, 24th day of the month of Kislev. And it was dedicated the next day, which is the 25th, which is, of course, the date of Chanukah. We need to see, how does it fit the time of Ezra? How does this Haftorah fit the time of Chanukah? And not only that, we need to look, by the way, Chanukah was about 250 years after the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And what ramifications does this Haftorah have for our present time? This, of course, my dear friends, is the beauty of Nevuah. Nevuah is for all time. Nevuah has a message forever, and it fits always. But why did Chazal choose in particular this particular Haftorah? Aside from the fact that it is incredibly beautiful. We may divide it into three sections. And section one will give a title, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to bring Geula. Just like that first pasuk that we read. It's very simple. However, it is filled with joy. I apologize to those people who learned this Haftorah with me last week, last Tuesday, in the class that I teach for Emunah. But I want you to know that I get excited even though I taught it before. So I hope that you won't mind that we review this Haftorah again. So, Perek Bet in Zechariah, Pasuk Yudalit, Rani v'simchi batziyam, ki hineni ba. An incredible declaration. Rani, sing out. V'simchi and be happy, rejoice. Sing out and rejoice, Bat Zion. Bat Zion is, of course, Yerushalayim. And when all the Nevi'im use the expression Bat Zion, then they're talking about when I say my daughter, they're talking precious. They're saying, dear, precious Yerushalayim. So sing out, dear, precious, rejoice, Yerushalayim. Ki hineni ba, Hashem speaking, I'm coming. I'm ready to place my Shechina among you, v'shachanti b'tocheich, Noam Hashem, and I will dwell among you. Be happy, there's excitement. The Navi is saying, I'm coming, I'm ready. You just need to make me the place. V'nilvu goyim rabim el Hashem b'yom ahu. And he starts giving a messianic type of vision. This Beit HaMikdash, says the Navi, has the potential of being the eternal Beit HaMikdash that will bring the time of Mashiach. And at that time, all of the nations or many nations will come to join with Hashem on that day. V'hayu li la'am, they'll be my nation. You know who will be my nation? You. Despite the fact that all of the nations will come close to Hashem at that time, you, Am Yisrael, will still have a special position, a special relation with me. I will dwell in your midst, Am Yisrael, Yerushalayim. V'yodat ki Hashem tzvakot shlachani alayim. And at that time, says Zechariah, you will know, because these words will come true, that it was Hashem that sent me to you and that I am speaking the truth. The time has come to build the Beit HaMikdash. Hashem is ready to place his presence. Hashem is ready to bring a geula. V'nachal Hashem et Yehuda chelko al admat ha-kodesh. And Hashem is going to give Yehuda their inheritance in the Holy Land. Hashem is going to make sure that the Jews live in their portions, in their nachala in the Holy Land. U'bachar od b'Yerushalayim. And he will again or still choose Yerushalayim to be his special city. Very messianic, very much describing the geula. Has kol basar, says the Navi. Has, be silent, all flesh, kol basar. Mipnei Hashem, before Hashem, ki ne'or mim'on kodsho. Because ne'or, he's shaking himself awake from his holy place in heaven, and he is preparing to help us build the Beit HaMikdash. He is ready to do his part, and we must do our part. And what we must do, says the Navi, is we must begin the building. What an incredible section this is. What an amazing idud, encouragement the Navi was giving to the people. He is saying, let us be happy, Rani Vishabhi, right? Sing out and be happy. Does this not fit the time of Ezra? He's getting them to build. Does this not fit the time of the Hanukkah story when there was this great miracle and there was this rededication of the Beit HaMikdash in Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael after the great victory? And does this not fit our present time when we can almost hear the Navi speaking to us and saying, Rani v'simchi, rejoice and be happy, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for us to make the first move to him and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we want to prepare. We want to do the right thing. We want to bring your presence more closely among us. Part two. Part two, we may give the title, section two, proper leadership for Am Yisrael. We need proper leadership if we are going to have a new Beit HaMikdash. We have to make sure that we're given the proper leadership. And so we look, it's Perek Gimel in Zechariah. Vayareni et Yehoshua, HaKohen HaGadol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed me Yehoshua, the Kohen Gadol, Omed Lifnei Malach Hashem. He is standing before an angel of God. V'hasatan omed al yemino l'sitno. And the Satan, the adversary, the accusing angel, is standing on his right side to accuse him. Basically, the Navi sees a heavenly court. And in the heavenly court, he sees that Yehoshua, the Kohen Gadol, is being judged as to whether he is worthy of being the Kohen Gadol in this newly erected or about to be built Beit HaMikdash. And the Satan is getting ready to accuse him and say, doesn't deserve it. He does not deserve it. And of course, the question would be, why doesn't he deserve it? What is it about Yehoshua that the Satan is going to accuse him of? And the Mefarshim say, Yehoshua, some of his sons, later on, married foreign wives. However, to their credit, when Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael and asked the people to banish their foreign wives, Ezra's children were among those who banished them. Nevertheless, it was a stain, and the Satan is getting ready to accuse Yehoshua. even though it might not have happened in his time, and say he doesn't deserve to be the Kohen Gadol. Pasuk Bet, Vayomer Hashem al HaSatan, Yigar Hashem b'cha HaSatan. And Hashem said to the Satan, I am angry at you, Satan. V'yigar Hashem b'cha HaBocher b'Yerushalayim. And Hashem is angry at you because Hashem chooses Yerushalayim. This is the time for Yerushalayim to be rebuilt. Halo ze ud mutzal me'esh. Is this, meaning Yehoshua, not an ud mutzal me'esh? And you may ask me, what is an ud mutzal me'esh? Have you heard that expression? We use it for people who were saved from the Holocaust, for Nitzulei HaShoah. It is a smoking firebrand. An ud is a piece of wood that is smoking, that was pulled out of the fire before it was completely consumed. It was saved from the fire. It was all but consumed. And the Rabbona Shalom is saying to the Satan, wait a minute, don't accuse so fast. This person, Yehoshua, is an ud mutzal me'esh. He is a smoking firebrand. He was almost consumed, but he was saved. And there's a wonderful medrash. Remember, we learned in Sefer Daniel about when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into a fiery furnace because they refused to bow down to the golden idol that the king Nebuchadnezzar had set up, celebrating himself, and commanded that everybody must bow down to it as though he is a god. And we know that they were totally saved from the fire by an angel who was seen actually walking in the fire with them. According to the Medrash and Chazal, they say that this Yehoshua also refused to bow down to the idol. And he was also thrown into the fiery furnace. But his zechuyot, his merits, were not as great as those of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And his clothing was burnt. He was scorched by the fire, but then he was pulled out together with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Hashem is saying to the Satan, this person, Yehoshua, proved himself and was punished. He was scorched by the fire and was all but consumed. Don't accuse so fast. V'Yehoshua ha'yalavush b'gadim tzo'im. And Yehoshua was dressed in besmirched clothing. Va'omed lifnei ha'malach, as he was standing before the malach. That clothing was the clothing that was scorched by the fire. He's standing there in clothing that is soiled. Improper. Notice the symbolism, because it is the clothing that makes the Kohen Gadol, right? The clothing is what makes the Kohen Gadol recognizable. He wears special garments, the Kohen Gadol. His garments would be smirched, was scorched. That's the question as to whether he deserves to be the Kohen Gadol. But in this scene, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Yehoshua, because you were willing to sacrifice yourself, you are going to be given a chance. Vaya'an vayomer el ha'omdim lefanav lemor. And he raised his voice and said to those standing before him, saying, and it's difficult to know if it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself speaking or the malach. The presiding judge raises his voice and says, "Hasiru habagadim hatsoim me'alav. Remove those scorched, besmirched clothing. Vayomer Elav, and he said to him, Yoshua, Re'e he'evarti me'alecha avonecha, look, I have removed your sins, v'halbeish otcha machalat sot, and I am dressing you in fine garments, the beautiful garments of the Kohen Gadol. And the Navi is watching this in a vision, and he's getting into the picture. But Omar, and I said he can't help it, he cries out, Yosimu tzanif tahor al rosho. Wait a minute, put the holy turban, the pure turban on his head. Remember the turban of the Kohen Gadol, which was different than the other Kohanim, and it had a gold plate over here that said Kodesh Lashem across his forehead. The Navi says, give him all the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Give him a chance to prove himself again. Vayosimu hatzanof hatahor al rosho. And they put the pure turban of the Kohen Gadol on his head, Vayalbishuhu begadim, and they dressed him in the clothing, Umalach Hashem omeid, and the Malach Hashem was standing, Vayoad Malach Hashem biYoshua lemor, and the angel of Hashem warned Yehoshua, saying, Ko amar Hashem Tzvakot, so says Hashem Tzvakot, Im bidrachai teleich, Yoshua, I'm giving you a chance, but you have to prove that you deserve it. If you will walk in my ways, v'im et mishmarti tishmor, and you will keep my special rules for the Kohen Gadol. Hold on, I'm going to take a cough drop. V'gam ata tadin et beiti, and you will judge my house, meaning you will serve on the courts, the Kohanim served on the Sanhedrin. V'gam tishmor et chatzerai, and you will guard everything that happens in my courtyards. If you will fulfill completely the job of the Kohen Gadol, if you will fulfill completely the halachot that pertain to a normal Jew, and to the Kohen, and to the Kohen Gadol as well. V'natati l'cha mahalchim bein ha'omdim ha'ela. Then I will give you descendants. Hold on. I'm just going to take a drink. It will help. If you will do your job as a Jew and as a Kohen Gadol, then I will give you children who will walk among the angels. In other words, I will give you pure children who will serve as Kohen Gadol in their time and who will be in Gan Eden, who will be with these angels. I will promise you, if you will do right and your children will do right, then you have a wonderful future. Shmana Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. Listen, Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, Atav Reyecha Hayoshvim Lefanecha. You and your friends who were seated before you, Ki Anshe Mofet Hema, because they are men of miracles. Ki Hinani Mevi Et Avdi Tzemach. Interesting. Yehoshua, please remember, you do not work alone. You will be the Kohen Gadol, but you have friends who are sitting before you who are other Kohanim, whom you must lead to do the Avodah correctly in the Beit HaMikdash, because they are men of miracles. They all were able to go through the exile in Bavel. There is also a Medrash that among those people were Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, and they were seated there after having been saved by the fiery furnace. They went to Eretz Yisrael, and they were joining in the building of the Beit HaMikdash. Ki hinani mevi et avdi tzemach, says Hashem, I am ready to bring my servant. Tzemach is the Mashiach. tzemach, that which grows out of the family of Yishai. In other words, very simply, Yehoshua, please remember that you need to work with other people. You will work with the other Kohanim. You will work with Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were also descendants of the house of David. And I am about to bring the Mashiach because what all of the Mefarshim say, taken from Chazal, is that had everything gone well, Zerubbabel, the descendant of Malchut Beit David, had the potential of himself being the Mashiach. I am about to bring the true leadership of Am Yisrael for the time of Geula. Ki hineh ha'even asher natati lifnei Yehoshua. Because look, says the angel, this is a stone that I'm putting before Yehoshua, the cornerstone of the Beit HaMikdash. All of Chazal say it is the cornerstone. Look, I am putting the cornerstone, symbolic of you are the cornerstone of the Beit HaMikdash. Because it's the Beit HaMikdash is a building, but the avodah that's done within it, that's what really counts. Here is the cornerstone, set it, you, Yehoshua, must put it in place. Al Evan Achat Shiva Einayim. On this one stone, you will see engraved seven eyes. Hinini Mefateach Pitucha Ne'om Hashem Tzvakot. I am going to engrave those eyes more deeply. These are the words of Hashem, God of hosts. Umashti atavon ha'aretz ha'i b'yom achad. And I will erase the sin of the land, meaning of all the people, in one day. In other words, if everything goes well in the Beit HaMikdash, if you do your job, if the other leaders do their job correctly, here is the cornerstone. Set it in place, everything will be well because that cornerstone has engraved on it seven eyes. Malbim does a very lengthy explanation, and I have to tell it to you orally because, as I said, it is lengthy. And the lengthy explanation is that on the cornerstone, it is as though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is putting a symbol that shows his hashgacha. My hashgacha will always be with you. And in normal times, before the Geula, the seven eyes of Hashem, the hashgacha of Hashem, comes to us in a very normal way. In other words, it is the world goes according to the rules of nature, the way it does in our time. But what Hashem is saying is, I'm ready to engrave those eyes more deeply. Meaning, I will watch over you. My hashgacha will be in a miraculous way. I will watch over you so that I will do miracles. Put that cornerstone in and start the process, because we need to erase the sins of all the people in one day. The seven eyes of Hashem are indicative of the different types of hashgacha, the different ways that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with the world. And the number seven, please remember, seven is a process. Shiva Yimei Shabbatah, don't we sing in Echad Miyodea? Shiva Yimei Shabbatah, what is seven? The number seven, what does it stand for? Stands a week is going through a seven-day period and then you start again. It's going through a process, right? It's doing something by going through a process. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in his hashgacha, goes through seven steps of a process, watches the world in seven different ways, that now in our present time go according to the rules of nature. The Malbim says it goes through the planets, But in the time of the Malbim lived in the 19th century, there was great interest in how the planets affected what went on Earth. So he says there are seven Kochbei Lechet, there are seven planets. And this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules the world according to the rules of nature, like today. But he promises that the time will come that he will rule the world, ba'ofan nisi, according to miracles. If you don't understand this, don't worry, because I don't also. But it will become a little bit, tiny bit more clear very soon. Bayom Hahu, the angel goes on saying, speaking to Yeshua, Ne'om Hashem Tzvakot, these are the words of Hashem Tzvakot. Tikru'u ish l're'ehu, you will call one man to a friend, el tachat gefen ve'el tachat te'ena. Under the gefen, under the vine tree, and under the fig tree, which is an expression that since the time of Shlomo was used to signify a time of peace. When people sat under their vines and their fig trees, everything is fine in the land, everything is perfect. The vine and the fig are producing their fruits, and it is a time of peace and contentment. So says the Malach, you are ready, we are close, we can do it. And so the message to the people of his time, of course, start building the Beit HaMikdash. We have the proper leadership, the leadership, shall we say, with potential. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is promising that his hashgacha will be placed firmly on this building, solidly on the building, so much so that it's as though there's an engraving on the building that shows how he is always watching. It's all up to you now. It is a secret that Rashi tells us that Chagai revealed to the people the secret that it's all up to us, that what we do is very important, and that we must always start the process. In the time of Hanukkah, we can certainly see that there needed to be a rededication. I think that there is a little hint here, or so Chazal say, there's a little hint to the Kohen Gadol. The hint to the Kohen Gadol is you cannot do it alone. And one of the problems with the Hashmonaim is that after the Hanukkah story, and after the time that Yehuda Maccabi died, and some of his brothers died as well, the remaining Hashmonaim, the remaining brother Shimon, actually persuaded himself to take over, to rule, and it was one of his sons who declared himself not only Kohen Gadol, but king as well. And it was a terrible mistake that was made at the time, because it had ramifications for the Kohuna Gadola, which became a bit corrupt, and it had ramifications for the position of king, which should always be a descendant of Malchut Beit David. So according to Chazal, one of the reasons that we read this Haftorah on Chanukah is that there is that remez, Yehoshua, remember, you can't do it alone. You have your friend sitting before you, and I am bringing the representative of Malchut Beit David as well. A little bit of a sad note put into the joy. According to Chazal, Zechariah did not completely understand the message. And we have just a few more psukim, my friends, Perek Dalet. Vayashav ha-malach hadover bi. Zechariah has a malach that spoke to him. He had, so to speak, an interpreter. Like Daniel had Gavriel, he has an interpreter who is not given a name. And he says, this angel that speaks to me returned. Vayireni ki ish asher ye'or mishnato. And he woke me up like a man who was being awakened from a dream. And what he means is not necessarily that he was asleep, but he was in a confusion. He didn't quite know what's going on. And so the angel came over to him and said, wait, wait, I'm going to show you something that's going to clarify it. Vayomer Eli, and he said to me, Ma ata ro'eh? He said to me, what do you see? Va'omar ra'iti, here it goes, my friends. I have seen v'hine menorat zahav kula. The Navi says, I see a vision. And in this vision, I see a golden menorah. A menorah that is made of gold. Do you notice that there's a picture behind me on the screen? Look for a moment, because it's a needlepoint that I made a long time ago that is this vision of Zechariah that is used in art all over the world. There are many artifacts that are found with this drawing in slightly different ways, because it is such a picture of Yeshua that it was used by artists again and again. This particular rendition was the first page of one of the first Sidurim that was ever published. The Machzor Vitri had this, and somebody made it, somebody printed it on a needlepoint, and it was many, many years ago, it's very old. I did it because I loved it. And I actually put some words on, which I don't think you can see, but you'll recognize them in a minute. But I want you to notice as I read the description, notice the picture. He says, Ra'iti, I saw in a vision, b'hine menorat zahav kula, a total gold menorah, v'gula al rosha. There is a bowl on top of the menorah. You can see it clearly, but if you really look, you can see a bowl. It's very small. It should have been a little bit bigger. Vishiva neroteha aleha, and there are seven lit lights on it. Shiva vishiva mutzakot la nerot asher al rosha. And there are seven pipes that are going from the bowl to the lights that are on each branch of the menorah. In other words, there's a bowl on top of the menorah. And there's a bowl on top of the menorah. From the bowl, there are little pipettes that are going from the bowl that are going to each one of the branches of the menorah. Ushnayim zeitim aleha. You see the two olive trees on each side? There are two olive trees on each side, echad mimin agula, one on the right side of the bowl, the echad al smola, and the other on the left side. Two olive trees. You have a menorah, you have two olive trees, you have a bowl. The bowl has pipettes going to each of the branches of menorah, which are all lit. If you notice, there are two little bowls coming out of the branches of menorah. And it says, though the branches of the olive trees are pouring olives into these two little bowls on each side that are in turn feeding the olives into the bowl. And in that bowl, the olives are being pressed by themselves into oil. And the oil is then being fed into each branch of the menorah. The menorah, in other words, is burning. It is lit with no human hands necessary to pick the olives, to press the olives, to make pure oil, and to pour them into the branches of the menorah and to light each one of the lights. Please notice seven branches of menorah, like the seven eyes that were on the cornerstone that was given to Yehoshua. The seven, the whole menorah stands for the presence of Hashem. The seven branches, the seven different types of hashgacha. Va'an, the Navi is speaking, va'omar ha'malach ha'doverbi, I raised my voice and I said to the angel, Lamor, saying, Ma Ela Adonai, what are these, my master? He doesn't mean that he didn't know what it was. He means, what are you showing me? What does it symbolize? Vayan ha'malach ha'doverbi, and the angel raised his voice in turn, Vayomer Elai, and he said, Halo yadata ma'ema ela, don't you know what these are? Va'omar lo Adonai, and I said, no, my master. And we see the Nevi'im that were among the last Nevi'im did not have a Nevuah as clear as the Nevi'im that were doing the times during the times of the first Beit HaMikdash. Zechariah needed the angel to explain the vision that he saw. It's an amazing, amazing idea. The further we get from Sinai, the less clearly we see the message of Hashem. And so the angel, Vayan Vayomare Lailemar, and the angel said, you don't know, I'm going to tell you. He answered and he said, Zed Var Hashem El Zerubbabel. This is the word of Hashem to Zerubbabel, saying, you know these words, Lo b'chayu, not by might, V'lo b'koach, and not by strength, Ki im beruchi, but rather with my spirit, Amar Hashem Tzvakot. You don't need strength and you don't need might. You need me. You need my spirit. Miata, who are you? The angel is still speaking. Har gadol lifnei Zerubbabel. You think you're a big mountain in front of Zerubbabel? You think you could stop what I'm telling Zerubbabel to do, which is to build the Beit HaMikdash? Let me show her, if you're a mighty mountain, then you, I am going to flatten you like a plane. Vahotzi et ha'eben harosha. Go tell Zerubbabel right now, take out that cornerstone. Chuot chen chenla. And everybody, the whole world will react by calling chen chen. This is proper. This is good. This is what we need to do. We need to build the Beit HaMikdash. We do not need chayil. We do not need koach. We need to build. Chazal say, Baruchi, Hashem says, I'm going to put my ruach. I'm going to send the spirit to the king, to Daryavesh. And when he hears that you have begun the building, you take out the cornerstone. Then you know what Daryavesh is going to do. I'm going to put a spirit in him. He will give you permission. Look at the imagery again. The two olive trees are the two leaders of Am Yisrael that are anointed with oil. Who is anointed with oil? The king and the Kohen Gadol. So the two olive trees, you have a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the middle, right? You have the spirit, the Shekhinah, with his seven ways of interacting with the world, the process. You have the two leaders. You need the two leaders, the two different types of leaders, both of whom are called later in the Perek, the sons of the Shemen, Bnei HaShemen, the people that are anointed with oil. And you have the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that says, you don't need might, you don't need koach, but what you need is to bring the spirit of Hashem close. Basically, what's the message? The message is just begin. Take that cornerstone. Begin building the Beit HaMikdash. Do not wait. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ready to help bring it about. In the Hanukkah story, there is much discussion about which aspect of the story was the real ness, the oil or the victory of the few against the many. In truth, both were nisim. The miracle of the oil was overt. The victory was more natural because there had to be human input to make it work. Chazal teach that the reason HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed so many miracles for us in Tanakh is to teach us that every moment of our existence is a miracle. Every moment we are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. The fact that we are here learning today in the year 2020 is a miracle. Am Yisrael is here celebrating Hanukkah. It is a miracle. That is the lesson. You can understand now, why did Yehuda Maccabee, why did he want to get pure oil for the menorah? Chazal say he could have lit it. He could have lit it just to light the menorah. He did not want to. He said the menorah is the sign of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence among us. We need to have pure oil that had the insignia of the Kohen Gadol on it. I really feel that there's something very precious about Chanukah. We bring light to the world through our Chanukiyot at the darkest time of the year. You know, this is the darkest time of the year. The Midrash tells us that Adam HaRishon, I have a few minutes, so I'm going to add this. Adam HaRishon, as you remember, that he was created on Rosh Hashanah, and he was expelled from Gan Eden, and he noticed that the days were beginning to get shorter and shorter. And he said, Oily, he said, oh my goodness, this must be my punishment. The world is probably going to slowly be destroyed, not all at once. And then he began davening, and he noticed that the days got a little bigger and a little bigger. And he said, Zehu derech ha'olam. This must be darkah shel olam. This is the way of the world, obviously. And the next year, he made a holiday, and he started lighting candles immediately before the solstice and immediately after the solstice. So from the time of Adam HaRishon, this is a time that we bring light. We bring light to the world. We bring light to our souls. There's an incredible ma'amar from the Ba'al Sod, the Kabbalah. I don't know where it's from, but it was quoted by Rav Zevin in his Sefer, Moadim Kalacha. And the Chachmei Hasod said, Bishat Hadlakat Neirot Chanukah, at the time of the lighting of the lights of Chanukah, Mitgale Galui Mehaor Haganuz. A little bit of the hidden light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid away at the time of creation is revealed to us in a very open manner. As we look at the lights of Chanukah, we should see within them a little bit of that light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid and is hiding, is holding for the tzaddikim in Olam Haba. When we light the lights of Hanukkah, we should see a little reflection of Olam Haba. Hu Oro Shel Mashiach, which is the light of Mashiach. V'lachein Nikra B'Shem Chanukah. And that's why, say the Chachmei Hasod, that's why this holiday is called Chanukah, from the word Chinuch. A lesson, chinuch l'geula ha'atida, because we learn from Chanukah a lesson for the geula ha'atida, for the future redemption, meaning for the promise of Olam Haba. We learn a lesson, it is chinuch, that we know, you know what the lesson is. The lesson is to light, the lesson is to move, the lesson is to act, the lesson is to connect. I was reading something very interesting while I was drinking my morning coffee. And I want to add one more thing. A question was asked, it was in the HaMizrahi magazine this month, the Hanukkah edition. And the question was asked, why do we say Lahadlik Ner Shel Chanukah when actually we light many candles? And some of us and some of our families, every member of the family has a Chanukiah. And so we don't have one candle. We have many, many candles that are usually lit on Chanukah. Why do we not say Lahadlik Nerot Shel Chanukah rather than Lahadlik Ner? And the answer that was given was, is actually a Rav Kook, because we need to understand that it takes all our lights together to make one light. That all the lights that we bring to the world, the light of understanding, the light of Nevuah, the light of Torah, the light of peace, the light of joy, all of those lights that we each bring from each neshama make one great light, and that is the light that we hope to bring Geula to the world. And so when we make the bracha, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are all bringing our each individual light, our little piece, our effort to make that one great light, to bring light to Am Yisrael, and to bring Geula to the world, hopefully, b'mehera v'yameinu.